Think back to March of 2020. It was a very uncertain and scary time. Lockdowns were just starting in cities across the country as the first pandemic in 100 years infected people all over the world. There were a lot of open questions about how the disease spread or how safe it was to do things like going to a doctor. Now imagine giving birth or caring for a newborn during that time. For new parents, the already challenging experience of caring for a newborn became way harder. We're talking now about what it was like to give birth and or raise an infant during the pandemic, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. I asked you to imagine what it was like. Do you not have to imagine? Were you a new parent in 2020? Can you tell us a little bit about your experience, how it was different than you had pictured? What's been the most difficult thing? Have there been unexpected moments of joy? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Tova Walsh is an assistant professor of social work at UW-Madison. She interviewed dozens of new parents whose babies were born in March of 2020 after having her own child just as the pandemic was ramping up. Tova, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, can you start by sharing your own experience? You gave birth to your daughter Lily in March of last year. Could you tell us some of what that was like to suddenly be a new parent in the midst of all this?
Yeah, so my daughter Lily was born in late March. And so in the days leading up to her birth, we found out schools were closing for my older children. You know, things started to shut down around us. The university went online where I work. And, you know, it was a really scary and uncertain time. My doctor, shortly before I was due to give birth, suggested that I think about having an induction at 39 weeks so I could get in and out of the hospital as quickly as possible, since we really had no sense at that point of kind of what was going to happen, if the hospitals would be overrun. And there was this kind of sense of urgency and a lot of risk attached to being in the hospital. So, you know, it got pretty scary pretty quickly. And then as it happened, my daughter was born just as our safer at home order started here in Wisconsin. So it was a pretty intense and scary time to welcome a new baby.
Can you talk about a little more about what you heard from the hospital about and saw at the hospital as they were trying to figure out their new protocols while regular people were coming in to do things like give birth?
So things were just changing hour to hour there. Like in the days leading up to the birth, when I would talk to my doctor, she would say, you know, this is what the policy at the hospital is now, but I'm not sure what it's going to be tomorrow or even later today, because things kept changing. And so, you know, we were constantly refreshing the page on our computers, on our phones. My husband and I, we were really worried that he wouldn't be able to be with me. We were tracking what was happening in New York and hearing about hospitals where women weren't allowed to be accompanied by their partners for birth. Here in Madison, the policy at that time was that you could have one support person with you. So we were, you know, hoping it would stay that way, but worried that things would get even more strict. You know, he was able to come with me. And then, you know, when we got there, it was just like things were changing before our eyes, with providers wearing, you know, new forms of PPE that we had never seen before, that they weren't used to wearing. You know, I have these distinct memories of, you know, newborn baby and, you know, the person doing some of the screenings that they do on a newborn, like checking their hearing, was leaning over the baby and kept sort of hitting her face on the face shield because she'd never, you know, worn that before to do this particular task. And things were just changing all around us. And even the professionals around us were really, you know, feeling pretty uncertain about what was going on, since it was all just happening and changing so quickly.
So here you are, a new parent and also an academic who studies parenting. So you naturally looked for more stories than just your own. What did you do, and what kind of response did you get?
That's right. So, you know, I'm a new parent, and I'm also a person who studies, you know, the experiences of expectant and new parents and ways of reducing stressors and increasing supports for expectant and new parents. So, you know, I turned my attention pretty quickly to the pandemic, since, you know, that became a really just, you know, that kind of took over what was happening for all of us, I think, when this kind of crisis erupted. And so I kind of pivoted with my research to start thinking about, you know, what were other new parents experiencing, and reached out in one study to a number of my fellow March of 2020 moms. So I was recruiting moms who had had a baby that specific month, since I think there's something pretty distinct about the experience of having a baby just as things were upended, and got a really tremendous response. You know, advertised looking for women to participate in a study to speak with me in March of 2021 to talk back over the year with me and think about what it was like giving birth and how the year had gone since welcoming their baby. And, you know, heard from about 100 mothers in just a day or two after posting ads about this study, and ended up interviewing 32 women in the month of March, and hearing about their experiences over the last year.
Talking to Tova Walsh, assistant professor of social work at UW-Madison, about becoming a new parent during the pandemic, her own story. And then she did research. We'll find out more about what parents told her. You could share your story. Was there a new arrival in your family through the course of 2020? How were things shaken up by the pandemic and the precautions and the inability to visit family members? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Well, here at WPR, Andrea Anderson, an editor here, gave birth to her daughter in June. She wrote about it for Wisconsin Life. Here's part of a letter Andrea wrote to her newborn.
As I feel your warmth and hear your teeny soft snores, I think about the world you were born into in June. It's a world where millions have died from a new virus that has torn the global economy apart and turned life upside down. It's a world where your sister's is normal, is but a memory and also a goal, as they yearn for hangouts with friends, birthday parties, and seeing your cousins. But the world isn't all bad at this time. People have come together like never before in some ways, working to help those in need. Sweet Magnolia, you were born into a house and family full of love in one of the darkest times this world has seen. And while many people, including me, struggle to see the light, you are that light our family needs.
You can hear that whole piece at wisconsinlife.org. And Tova, what do you hear in that and compared to what you heard from your respondents that you reached out to?
Well, that is a beautiful letter, and I really empathize with what I heard, and it really does echo some of what I heard from people that I interviewed. So for sure, the piece about, just this time of darkness and the babies representing this light, you know, I certainly heard that from, a lot of mothers in terms of the hope that their babies brought them and, you know, how precious it felt to have a baby that, is a source of joy in a really dark time, and also just how complicated it was to have that contrast, to have so much loss all around. For many of the mothers that I spoke with, you know, they knew of people who had COVID. They heard of friends and family members who were getting ill, in some cases lost friends or family members. And it's just so stark to have that happening at the very time that you have a baby and to be dealing with so many complex emotions. So I heard a lot from mothers about just the complexity of navigating the postpartum period and the usual kind of ups and downs that come with having a baby, as well as all the intense emotions of living through a pandemic. And some people were touched, more personally than others by that. Just that really spoke to me, the letter that you shared and this idea of darkness and light.
From the emotional side of things to the practical side of things, I think a lot of parents, new parents, had the question, should I go for the usual early child checkups, given that I don't know what I'm going to find in this healthcare clinic? And am I exposing our family to the virus? What kind of concerns, what kind of solutions did you hear from people?
Yeah, so that was something that people really struggled with, because again, this is back when, in March of 2020, we still knew so little about how the virus is transmitted and what we can do to reduce the risk of transmission. Hard to remember that time. It's before we were wearing masks. So the mothers that I spoke with talked about really having a struggle when an infant would be sick. They would call the doctor, and they and the doctor would be trying to parse out, how urgent is this? Do you really need to come in? And at an earlier time, what we would have done, probably what the provider would have said is just bring them in. We'll just check. It can't hurt to check. But instead, the message that moms were getting and that, they already probably felt even before making that call was, this is so risky to bring my baby in. If we don't really need it, I don't want to make an unnecessary trip. And so it put so much pressure on making these decisions. And women felt, just really scared about making the wrong call. They didn't want to not get care that their baby needed. But what if it wasn't that serious and they brought their baby in and their baby got COVID in the doctor's office? It just felt like such an impossible decision.
We're talking about the challenges for people with new babies during the pandemic. Tova Walsh is with us, assistant professor of social work at UW-Madison. She interviewed dozens of new parents whose babies were born in March of 2020 after having her own child, just as the pandemic was ramping up. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. How do you think giving birth or parenting has been difficult as compared to that experience when there's not a pandemic? Was there a new arrival in your household? Or are you a new grandparent? What kind of things did you miss about that first year? What was different? What were the additional challenges? What were the consolations along the way? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with UW-Madison sociologist Tova Walsh about becoming a parent during the pandemic. She did it. She talked to a bunch of new moms over the last year who gave birth early in the pandemic. You can join in if you have an experience to share at 800-642-1234, either a newborn of your own or maybe a grandkid, niece, or nephew that you weren't able to visit as much as you might have planned to. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Tova, on another practical note, I think a lot of people might go into parenting planning on maybe getting some help with childcare, hiring somebody or a relative, grandma, grandpa, whatever. That really got a big wrinkle, didn't it?
It sure did. So, you know, one of the hard things for moms who had babies early in the pandemic is that there wasn't really time to adjust before you were just kind of in it and things had changed. So, you know, a lot of moms talked about just all the plans they had made and just how as the days and weeks went by, it was just, you know, kind of one thing after another not happening that you had planned. So visits that you had anticipated from, you know, grandparents coming to help or, you know, family and friends coming to meet the baby, you know, those things were, you know, had to be canceled. And initially people thought maybe postponed for a short time, but, you know, that time horizon kept extending as the pandemic continued. You know, when it comes to kind of formal childcare arrangements, moms also really struggled with that. It was such a difficult decision to think about, you know, what was safe and what was necessary, you know, balancing all the considerations of parents who have to work and the risk of the virus. You know, in one case, I talked to a mom who really struggled with that decision and thought she had found an arrangement that was going to be a good and safe environment for her child and then saw the daycare provider posting lots of pictures on social media, kind of out in social settings with lots of unmasked people. So that arrangement, you know, she no longer felt was safe and had to make new arrangements. So for a lot of moms, this has been kind of an ongoing issue throughout the year is assessing and reassessing and figuring out kind of how to manage without the support that they expected.
And you heard from at least one mom who had a serious health problems and really had to find some help with childcare. And that sounds like a really difficult situation.
Yes. So I spoke with one mom who had just a really urgent need to get care. She had returned home after a C-section and was parenting her two young children, her infant and a toddler, largely doing that on her own, given that her husband still had to work at that time. And when she reached out and, you know, reached out on social media looking for help with childcare or through a neighborhood listserv, actually, you know, people were publicly shaming her for breaking public health protocols during the pandemic. When in fact, you know, little did they know that her need was really acute. She had been having a difficult time with recovery and had experienced hemorrhaging. And her healthcare provider had said, you know, you need to get this help. This is a matter of survival. And then it became so difficult to find the help that she needed.
Now, for any new parent, there are concerns in recent years, I know, about to be kind of isolated and cut off from your usual social network because you're busy taking care of a kid. Maybe one consolation is usually hanging out with other parents at the, you know, the park or out for a walk or things like that. How much bigger a problem was isolation during the pandemic for these new parents?
That was a really big problem. And that's, you know, one of the losses that people named in my interviews, in particular, first time mothers who really thought, you know, there would be this opportunity when their baby was born to do things like go to library story time or go to a mommy and me kind of group. People had anticipated, you know, meeting other people who are at the same life stage, making, you know, friends for their babies and friends for themselves and having people to be in it together with. And that was really disrupted by the pandemic. So, you know, for some moms, one of the ways they coped was, you know, getting connected through kind of online groups. And that was meaningful, but not the same as having those in-person connections. And it's a loss that mothers are feeling and that I hope as things begin to open up, you know, that there'll be opportunities for moms who didn't have the chance throughout this last year to meet one another and provide support to one another.
And another type of meeting that isn't so much happening is, you know, grandparents in many cases being able to hang out with the new grandkid. How much did you hear about that from the people you talked to?
I heard a lot about that. That's, you know, in addition to the kind of meeting mom friends, like the other big loss that people named was their grandparents getting to know their babies, the grandparents, grandbabies, you know, and that was our experience too. And my family, my daughter has met my mom who lives in town, but has three more grandparents who were so eager for her to meet. And a lot of the women that I interviewed talked about this, just how, you know, how big that loss felt and how that was a loss that really kind of accumulated over the course of the year. It felt bad at the very beginning that their child couldn't meet the grandparents. But, you know, as things continued, you know, every time there was a baby milestone, it felt again, you know, like just such a loss that they couldn't share that milestone with the grandparents. So, you know, exciting as your baby, you know, cuts their first tooth and takes their first step, each of those moments was a little bit bittersweet. They were excited and you can share it virtually and, you know, make videos to share with grandparents. But for those who don't live near family or who haven't been able to find safe ways to introduce their baby to the baby's grandparents, you know, that's a real loss that people are feeling.
Talking to Tova Walsh, assistant professor of social work at UW-Madison, about parenting during the pandemic. If that story is happening to you, has happened to you in this last year, difficulty seeing that new grandkid, bringing your newborn to see new grandparents, call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas at WPR.org. Tova, I know at least preliminary data suggests that the birth rate was down last year. Obviously, people coming into March didn't know the pandemic was coming. For your future research and your colleagues, are you going to be looking at the decision to become parents that might have been facing people over the course of 2020?
Yeah, so that has come up actually in the interviews that I did with moms who gave birth in March of 2020. The pandemic just threw such a wrench in things that it's really shifted people's thinking about, you know, future plans for their family in a lot of ways. So I'm hearing from moms who are they're saying, you know, maybe it's going to be a lot longer than I initially thought before I have another baby, because I want to be really sure we're, you know, well past this pandemic before I consider getting pregnant again. Also hearing from moms that they're thinking about relocating maybe to be closer to family, that just the experience of having a baby and not having access to support, that they never want to go through that again. And it's making them change their thinking about kind of where they live or where they would want to be before they would consider having another child. So, you know, a lot of impacts of the pandemic on how people are thinking about the families that they want to have.
And I know, and this is going for kids who are a little older than the newborns here, but concerns about socialization for kids, not being able to play with other kids from other families. How big a concern is that?
Yeah. So, you know, in the interviews that I was doing, we started with talking about the experience of giving birth at the beginning of the pandemic. And we kind of worked our way through a year in the life of parenting a baby in the pandemic. And so we got up to the stage where babies are now, you know, turning one. And that concern was really growing for people. So they talked about how kind of earlier on, it felt like it was a real loss to them, the mothers and fathers, their partners as well, and that they didn't have the social support and that they couldn't, you know, introduce the baby to family members and so on. But as their baby gets older, they're feeling more concerned about the baby's own needs for socialization and, you know, wondering what it's going to mean that they have a baby who's had relatively little social contacts or opportunities to be around other babies or to meet other adults. A lot of worries for moms who were able to figure out ways to be home with their baby or to, you know, work from home and juggle work, partner and mom, both juggling work and baby care at home, you know, worries about what it'll be like when a baby goes to a childcare setting who has hardly left their home in their first year of life. They're really worried about the separation anxiety. So that is a growing concern, you know, among parents, just thinking about how this long period of isolation will impact their baby's development.
Let's bring out a caller now. Cheryl is with us in Osceola. Cheryl, hi.
Hello there. I'm one of those grandparents whose daughter-in-law had a baby on April 26th, and her husband, my son, was only allowed to go to the hospital. And she came home fine within a couple of days, but then the grandparents, lucky child has about three sets of grandparents. None of us were able to see her at all, and we had to wait. Meanwhile, mom had a 2.5-year-old at home also, and a husband who was staying home to work. So at least she had some help. And then as far as COVID goes, the baby did contact COVID at 6 months in November, along with mom and dad. So that's how it goes.
Everybody's okay, I hope. I think I may even hear one of them in the background.
No, that must be
that's on my
else.
End.
Oh, that's on your head, Tova. Okay.
Sorry.
That's fine. We've met a lot of babies over the course of COVID, actually, with people doing interviews from home. Well, Cheryl, I hope everybody's okay. Thank you so much for sharing your story. And that, Tova, I mean, that concern, like, Yeah, raising a baby, not able to go places, worried about the baby or the parents catching COVID along the way.
Yeah. So, you know, thank you for the call, Cheryl. And my heart goes out to the grandparents, too, who weren't able to meet grandbabies for so long and how hard that is for everyone. And I just really empathize with your daughter-in-law because that was, you know, our situation at home with young kids and without the grandparent love and care up close and personal that we had wanted for all of us. But yeah, and then I'm so sorry. I'm glad to hear that everyone's recovered in your family. But that was the concern for all of the moms that I interviewed, was just this possibility that we could actually catch COVID ourselves or our babies. So I'm glad to hear that you're all doing well.
Thanks a lot for that call. In our last minute, Tova, can you talk about resilience and how families said they bounced back even in these tough circumstances?
Yeah. So, you know, families are incredibly resilient. And one of the fun things was talking to people at a moment when we were starting to feel a little bit hopeful about vaccines and about things opening up, you know, and people have some really wonderful, well thought out dreams for what they want to do with their babies. That's going to be possible, they hope, in the year or years ahead. One thing I think to keep an eye out for that's going to be fun is, boy, moms have had like a year now to dream about. They didn't get to have, you know, early celebrations or a first birthday that they envisioned. I think there are going to be some very festive celebrations when babies are finally introduced to the family members that they haven't yet been able to meet.
So we should invest heavily in the baby shower industry. That sounds like. Tova, yep. Thank you so much for joining us again today. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
That's Tova Walsh, assistant professor of social work at UW-Madison. She interviewed dozens of new parents whose babies were born in March of 2020 after having her own child just as the pandemic was ramping up. She joined us for a look at the challenges facing those new parents over the last year.